We're doing the book of Shoftim, and we're up to what's called the 15th chapter. We had seen how Samson Shimshon had gotten married to this Philistine girl. She had given away his secret, the answer to the riddle. He got very upset. He beat 30 men of the Philistines, took their suits, and gave them to the people who solved the riddle. And he left. He went to his father's house, and his wife went and committed adultery, which we discussed, the different halachic ways of understanding what went on here. And she went and lived with one of his so-called friends. And then when the time came, Shimshon wanted to come and again see how his wife was doing. And he came with a gift. And he tells her father, let me go to my wife. And his father-in-law wouldn't let him go. And his father-in-law said, I was sure you hated her. I saw you you ran away after she revealed your secret. So she has a younger sister who's better than she is. You could marry her instead. And Shimshon says, this time the Philistines won't hold it against me, because of course if someone takes my wife away and gives her to another man, I'm entitled to take revenge. And Shimshon goes and captures 300 foxen, and he ties their tails together, so you have 150 pairs of foxen. And each pair of foxes, he puts a torch in between their tails. And the nature of the fox is that they run away from fire. So each one would run back and forth and back and forth. And it was the summer, so all the grains were all dry, and there was a tremendous fire. All the crops of the Philistines, all their piles of grains and the stalks of grains, down to their olive groves, everything was scorched, everything was destroyed. And the Philistines, they couldn't take control of this fire before everything was destroyed. They asked, who did this to us? And they heard it was Shimshon, because that man gave away his wife, and the Philistines went and they burnt her and her father in their house. And Shimshon said, I'm not yet done. And he went and he beat a tremendous number of Philistines. And then he went to a place called Seif Selaitam. He sat under some boulder. And the Philistines put together their soldiers and they went to Judean territory. And the tribe of Yehuda went out and they asked them, what do you guys want? They were subservient to the Philistines. So they said, we came to tie up Samson to pay him back for what he did to us. And 3,000 soldiers from Judea went down to Shimshon and they said, don't you know that the Philistines are in charge here? What'd you do to us? And Shimshon said, I only paid them back for what they did to me. So they said to him, okay, but we came to tie you up to give you in their hands. And Shimshon says, fine, just promise me that you guys won't hurt me. And they say, no, we just came to tie you and we'll give you in their hands, we won't kill you. And they tie him with two brand new ropes, big ropes, and they take him up. He's walking towards the Philistines and they see him all tied up. They blow their trumpets, they're all excited, they got him. And they charge him, and God's spirit rests upon him, and he tears the two ropes that were binding him, as though they had been burnt, as though they were just ash. And he has no weapons; they're all fully armored. He finds a jawbone of a donkey, and he grabs it and kills 1,000 Philistine, 1,000 soldiers with that jawbone, and there are piles of Philistines all around him, piles of corpses. And Shimshon looks at the jawbone and he says, that's interesting. Bilchi ha-chamor, with the jawbone of the chamor, the donkey, chamor chamorotayim. I made donkeys of piles of donkeys. With one jawbone of a donkey, I made piles of piles of these people. Now, chamor could mean a donkey, and chamor could also mean a pile. So he marvels at the miracle that with one jawbone of a donkey he killed 1,000 men. And when he's finished his speech of appreciation to God, he discards of the jawbone and he names the place Ramat Alechi. This is the hilltop of the jawbone. And he was very thirsty, he just fought a war. And he calls out to Hashem and he says, he gave me this great salvation. Am I now going to die of thirst? And these uncircumcised ones will overtake me. And so Hashem made some kind of crevice open in the jawbone, and water came out, and he drank it, and he was rejuvenated. And that's why it was called Eina Koreh Asher Balechi. That place was called the river that came from one's plea up by the jawbone. And the pasuk seems to close the chapter of Samson, saying that he judged the Jewish people for 20 years throughout the period of the Philistines. And then we have a pay, which shows that the parsha is closed, and then we start a new parsha. Shimshon goes down to Aza. Aza is Philistine territory. He sees a prostitute, and he goes into her. And the people of Aza were told that Samson came there, so they close the gates, and they prepare an ambush for him all night long, and they figure, come morning, we'll kill him. And Shimshon gets up in the middle of the night, and he goes to the doors of Aza, and he lifts the doors and the doorposts off their post, together with the bolt, and he carries them on his shoulders up to the mountain that oversees Hebron, and he leaves the doors there. Meaning they figure they had him caught. How's he ever going to get out of the city? The city's fortified against armies. It has huge doors. Shimshon carries them on his shoulders and leaves them on the hill for them. And then, after that, he goes for a woman in Nachal Sorek. Her name is Delilah. And it is unclear whether she was Jewish or Philistine. One thing that is clear is that she loves money and doesn't love Shimshon. So the leaders of the Philistines, Sarnei Flishtim, the Philistines don't have a king. They have five governors. The governors come up there and they say, seduce him, find out, where does he get such great strength? How could we subdue him? How could we bind him? How could we afflict him? And we'll each give you 1,100 silver coins. And she tells him, tell me, where is your strength great? How could you be bound? How could one afflict you? And he says, if they bind me with 7 fresh ropes that were never scorched, I will become ill. I'll be like a regular human. They give her that. She binds him. They have an ambush waiting for him. She tells him the Philistines are here. He gets up. He tears them off like they were nothing. And he doesn't even strain to do it. And Delilah says, you joked. You fooled me. You lied to me. Tell me, how could you be bound? So he says, oh no, you have to bind me with ropes that were never used for any work. Then I'll be ill. So this time she herself takes them, she binds him, again she tells him the Philistines are here, and again he breaks it like it were a threat. Again she says, you joked, you lied, tell me, how could you be bound? And he says, if you take my locks of hair and you put them in the what's it called, the thing you weave in? The loom. You put it in the loom, and then I'll be caught. So she takes the loom, she sticks it in the ground, she tells him the Philistines are here, he gets up to fight him, where are they, where are they? And there's a loom hanging by his hair, this huge loom, and he's walking around like, where, show me where they're at. And she says, how can you say you love me, your heart isn't with me, 3 times you lied to me, 3 times you didn't tell me how you have such great strength.
Why would you tell him?
Oh, it's an excellent question. So Rav Moshe Chaim Litzato, otherwise known as Ramchal, not only wrote great philosophical works, he was also a poet, and he wrote great plays. And Ramchal wrote a play called Samson and Delilah. Ramchal wrote a fantastic play. And Ramchal, in his play, at the very end, when Samson is imprisoned, so he has a great monologue, where Samson is talking about, how could it be that one woman brought me down? And Ramchal is telling us a message about the strength of a woman. Now, you see that he kept trying to get away without telling her, the way men often do. A wife keeps bugging him, and he keeps trying to get away without telling her. And it says she bugged him to no end, to the point where he wanted to die. Chazal say she'd slip out from under him at the peak of intimacy. So he told her everything. He says, I never had a knife touch my head. I'm a nazir for God from my mother's stomach. If I were shaved, I'd lose my strength. I'd become ill and I'd become like everyone else. And she realizes if he said God's name, he said Nazir Elokim, he said God's name, he wouldn't be lying. Chazal say, Nikarim divrei emet. When you hear the truth, you can tell it's the truth. And if you think about it, that's a deep point. Meaning, when something is a lie, we can't verbalize what's wrong about it, but deep down inside, there are warning signs that light up. If you've ever been to a scam website, you know that something didn't seem right. And it's so true that even today, even the one of the instructions they give you is, if it doesn't feel right, don't give away any information. Don't put in your code. If it doesn't feel right, exit the browser and start again and punch in the website you want to go to. Make sure you're not being scammed. We sense what's true and what's not true. So she senses he's told her the truth, and she tells the governors of Philistines, you guys come here with the money on hand, cash on hand. And she puts him to sleep. She calls in the man. He shaves off his 7 locks of hair, and she starts tormenting him, and he doesn't have strength. And she tells him the Philistines are here, and he gets up, and he figures, hey, I could take him on. And he doesn't realize that God is no longer with him. And they grab him, and they gorge out his eyes, and they take him down to Gaza, and they put him in shackles, and they put him to grind in the prison there. And our sages say to grind is a motion that's up and down, as if they'd knock against the grains, bang them, the kernels, into wheat. And it's an allusion to the fact that every man of the Philistines would bring his wife down to Samson and tell him, I want you to impregnate her. And woman after woman was brought into him, and this was one thing that God blessed him with, that he had limitless seed. And so all day and all night, that's what they kept him busy with. And his hair starts growing back. The Philistines, their prime interest is, they want a brave warrior like Samson. They want to have a son like Samson. It is their son. It isn't their son. That doesn't interest them as much as getting from this gene pool. And the officers of the Philistines have gathered to make a great sacrifice and a great celebration in honor of their idol called Dagon, which was some kind of merman, like a mermaid merman, some kind of half fish, half human. And that was the idol they worshipped. And they said, look, our God gave us Samson, our enemy. And they make this huge coliseum. They invite everyone. They have thousands of people on the roof and in the hall. And they're all partying. And they say, bring out Samson to the stage and let's all laugh at Samson. So they bring Samson, and they make fun of him in front of everyone. And he does his job as a court jester. And they stand him up in between the pillars that support the whole house. And Samson asks the lad, guide me to those pillars, and I want to lean on them. Now, there were men and women. Just the rooftop had 3,000 men and women viewing Shimshon. And Shimshon calls out to Hashem, and he says, Hashem, remember me, please. Strengthen me, please, this one time. And let me take revenge from one of my eyes from the Philistines. And Samson wraps his hands around the pillars, and he leans on them, and he says, let me die with the Philistines. And he exerts his strength, and the house comes tumbling down, the governors and the nation, and more people died with his death than in his lifetime. Now the Philistines, they don't find his body, because his family comes down, they take out his body and they bury him by his father. And for 20 years after his death, the Philistines are scared. They figure he's still around. He's lurking. It takes 20 years for the Philistines to calm down. our sages say, Samson said, God, let me avenge one of my two eyes. Now, the Mishnah says in Sota, why were his eyes gorged out? Because he was attracted with his eyes. He went after girls he shouldn't have gone after, because he went after his eyes. Now, on the one hand, we see he deserved that punishment. The person doesn't suffer in this world unless in heaven they've decided he deserves that suffering. And yet on the other hand, we see that when a person suffers at the hands of our enemies, that gives him tremendous merits in this world. He has the right, by the merit of one eye, he has the right to ask God to make the house come crumbling down. And he does. And he kills thousands of Philistines by the merit of one eye. The other eye, he says, God, I'm saving for my merits to the world to come. And that's an interesting concept, that dual nature, that on the one hand, one does not suffer if he didn't deserve it. And on the other hand, the fact that one has suffered and was tormented at the hands of the enemies of Israel does give him a certain merit in the world to come. So this is a duality that we find often in Chazal. On the one hand, suffering is because of something. On the other hand, the suffering merits something. Chazal say that Rebbe did not have enough compassion for a goat that was going to be slaughtered. So Rebbe was given tremendous stomach pains. When he'd relieve himself, he'd wail so terribly that you could hear him miles away. He had such suffering. And yet, the Talmud says that throughout the period that he suffered, no woman miscarried. So yes, he deserved it on one hand, and on the other hand, that suffering was able to affect the Jewish people that no other woman had to suffer. So this dual nature is something we find often in Chazal. It's something to think about.
You just didn't feel enough compassion, or you should have saved the goat?
No, you should have felt differently. The goat ran to Rebbe when they wanted to slaughter it, and it hid behind Rebbe. And instead of Rebbe feeling something for the goat, Rebbe shooed the goat away and said, "This is what you were created for." So yes, that's what the goat was created for. But a goat that runs to him for hiding, then the Talmud says that in heaven they held it against him that he shouldn't have been so cold. Yes, ultimately the goat had to be slaughtered. But no, it didn't have to be done that way.
Did it mention anything about some sort of this gene pool when he impregnated all these women? What happened to the children?
I am not familiar with anything it says about that. The one thing that is interesting is that the Philistines will be on top until King David's time. And in King David's time, if you recall, King David starts his military campaign with a war against a Philistine, which would be the Philistine who was the equivalent of Samson, Goliath. The Philistines finally have their Samson, this giant, this powerful man that no one could take on. And God reminds them that the key here is not the physical strength. That's not what gives us success. And that's where King David comes to the scene, a young lad who knocks him down with one stone. So that's the one area where we do find a continuation. There's more to be said. The whole concept that the Philistines are consistently referred to as the uncircumcised ones, and the fact that the whole idea of intimacy by them is just about the gene pool. The whole idea of the bris milah. There are a lot of concepts about the sanctity and the holiness that we give intimacy, that we give the bris milah and that whole part of the human body. We call it the crowning of the human body. And that idea is completely defiled by the Philistines, which is exemplified by this story. You know, what's worse than that? A guy brings his own wife to commit adultery because he's only interested in the gene pool. There are many philosophical concepts that are derived from this whole story. The story here, as well as the story with David and Goliath. There are also halachic concepts that we derive from these stories. Okay. We're out of time.